Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ran, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Video Game Bang Show. Okay, I don't have the iPad that's got all the sound effects. You guys know that someone else is usually in control of that, but I am your host, your boy Skip, aka Skip and Tosh. Welcome back for another episode. The person who's usually pointing to all the sounds that everybody says they hate but really they love is none other than Corey Vincent. Corey,
yo,
we missed you last time, buddy. How you been?
Man, I've been good. You guys killed it. You crushed it. So much so, I was like, why do I even host? Why do I do the intros and stuff? They're just, I hate it. I've done it too long. I'm old. It's time to let someone more equipped to deal with the kids these days. So thank you, man. And I was gone because my wife, my beautiful, amazing wife, her maternity leave was ending. And it was like our last chance to go do a getaway. So we went to the beach and hung out, and had a really good time.
Awesome, man. I'm glad. Glad you were able to, you know, take some family time, especially with the new bundle, and go enjoy yourselves together. As far as the kids concerned, literally the oldest person on the podcast you're talking about is more equipped to talk to the kids. But I call foul, sir. I call foul. But nonetheless, if we're going to talk about people that are actually talented on this show and universally loved, we'd have to talk about Lexi. Lexi, welcome back. How you doing?
Good, good. How are you? Thank you for welcoming me back. It's been a minute.
It has been a minute. We know that you've been wrapped up in exciting new career opportunities that you've had, which we've you know, been enjoying, especially I can't stress this enough. As someone who does not appreciate social media very much anymore personally, Lexi, you have to follow Lexi on Twitter, because if there is a place that will get your nostalgia feels going, like actually make you feel good about the world that we live in and even social media, it's Lexi. So Lexi, like,
I appreciate.
How do you you're welcome. How do you conjure such good vibes on social media? I feel like that's hard to do.
I mean, like, being like a social media manager, like in general, like one of my rule of thumbs, like even when I started, was like, I don't want to like see political stuff on my feeds. I don't want to like to have like good vibes. Like, I don't want to see like sad stuff. That's not to say I don't follow like everything, you know, I do, but
of course,
those things, that's a stressor on you. And I feel like life shouldn't be like that. You only have one life to live. So mm-hmm. I try to present my feed in like the best way possible. And since I love video games and since I love like geek culture and stuff, I try to like share that type of stuff all the time, or like feel good stories and stuff, the best that I can.
She spit some truth on there. My favorite tweet from like the last couple of weeks, it was so good I had to share it with my wife. It was like, millennials like charcuterie boards so much because we all grew up with Lunchables. I don't know whether you're just smoking a lot of weed, and I felt like it should have been followed by Hits Blunt. You know, like, should have been Hits Blunt tweet.
I think I want to do a millennial like series where I like continue that, because I have so many in my head. Like, I was like, millennials eat Oreos because we grew up on Dunkaroos. Like, I haven't posted that one yet, but you know, it's in my head. So
too late. Hey, I just tweeted it.
Under wraps.
I know, you just exposed it. I'm about to tweet that now.
Hey, I got a first class tweet right there. But that's what I want to do. I think I might do like a series. Like, I don't know if it's gonna be every day or every few days, because I don't know how many I can come up with. But yeah, that's the type of stuff that runs through my brain. Like, all of a sudden, like, huh. You know,
well, keep that going, because I think the world needs more of it. Corey can learn a thing or two I'll keep all the rest of the punches above the belt. Speaking of other talented people around here, easily the person that I've known that 100%ed more games than I ever have, because I probably only 100%ed two. Emma Skies is back. What's up, Emma Skies? How you been?
I've been good. I've been good. I'm tired. This feels weird. It's a Saturday for us, if you're listening to this. So it is weird to record this on a Saturday. I feel out of sorts, but I'm good. Chill.
Saturday and the sun is still up. Like, this is weird.
Yeah. Very weird. I don't remember the last time we were all together when the sun was still out. Most of the time it's like podcast time later on in the evening. We're doing VGB Christmas parties, of course, when it was still all good and carefree for everybody to get together. But we'll be back on to those days soon enough. But we got a good group today. Got Corey back, got Lexi back, Emma's in the house, and we got a few things that we're going to go over today. Just to run down the list before we jump into it. Obviously, we have to talk about the big purchase that happened. Microsoft pulled a lot of money out of the bank. So
they took
talk
all
about
their TikTok
that
work. Money.
Yep.
All the TikTok money, slapped it down on the table and turned it into some other money. We'll talk about that. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Xbox pre-orders or reserve orders. And one of us was, I don't want to say lucky enough to go through the experience, but soldiered through it. So we're going to talk about that. Amazon wants to fly around in our homes. That's not scary at all.
Harry Potter.
For 5 minutes at a time, only 5 minutes, as if they needed the extra 4 minutes to learn anything else about us. They find out everything in the first 60 seconds. And then we'll wrap it up at the end and talk about maybe some of the games that we've been playing. But first things first, Emma, you were essentially the VGB test lab rat, and you went through the experience of trying to grab one of these Xboxes after the whole PS5 fiasco.
Yes,
can you tell us a
both.
Little bit about what you went through? Oh, my goodness.
I have a PlayStation and an Xbox now. So I guess that's the spoiler. I did get one.
Did you get both?
I got both. It was a fucking nightmare. It was exactly what you'd expect it to be. It's 100% what we all expected it to be. It's a nightmare trying to get anything that's this in demand. But yeah, I was up at, you know, they were like, we're going live at 8 a.m. I'm up at 8 a.m. I was like, all right, let's do it. I had Best Buy, Walmart, Target, Microsoft, GameStop. I had them all running. I was just like, all right, we're gonna do this. And they lulled me into such a false sense of security, because right away I put one in my cart in Walmart and was in the checkout process. And I was like, perfect. Got in right into the wire. Like, I did everything right. This is great. I'm reloading everything else. Nothing's loading. But Walmart, I confirmed my payment to Walmart, and it's like, oh, just kidding. It's sold out.
Wow.
So Walmart sold out while I was in the payment confirmation. Target, their pre-order button didn't actually work, so you had to press it about 67 times before it put something in your cart, and then it would tell you that you had too many in your cart when you didn't have any. And eventually, like, you just keep pressing it over and over and over again. It would eventually figure out what you're doing, put one in your cart. I made it all the way through Target's pricing. I made it through shipping information, all that, and it sold out when I was in order confirmation. Best Buy and Amazon clearly didn't get the memo for 8 a.m. because Best Buy, I don't think, had any until like 9:30. And I want to say Amazon was similar. Like, theirs didn't go live until like well after 9 o'clock, almost going into 10 o'clock. GameStop, what was up with GameStop? GameStop did the same thing. I got all the way to order confirmation at GameStop before it told me it sold out. And what was the other one that Microsoft Store, their own proprietary store. Honestly, from 8 to 10 a.m., I couldn't even get the store to load. I had an error message for 2 hours.
Well, it was because, like, the world was getting more and more intense. Like, I think it was like you. Everyone started off on, you know, one, and then it became very quickly. And then Twitter just started exploding with, oh, my God, there's three of them left on this Best Buy website. If you go to the click here and go to the secret link into the store that's in Utah, you can get this. Like, it got – people were getting out of hand with this thing. I was happy to just be sitting on the outside watching all you guys eat each other
Sam's
alive.
Sam's Club.
Yeah, you know you're desperate when you're going to Sam's Club.
So if you go to Microsoft, they would have like a button that was like, go to these retailers. And one of them was something I'd never heard of called Ant Online. And I was like, fuck it, I'll try Ant Online. This sounds fake.
I tried GameStop, and I did the same thing that Emma did. Like, with everything open at the same time, set my alarm, got up, tried to get one. but my buttons just did not work at all. Like, the GameStop one took me to the Xbox One, and I was like, excuse me? and then the other buttons just didn't work. It was like not even there, non-existent. So I did not get one, but cross that I do, and hoping that, do you think they'll come out with like an exclusive like Cyberpunk one? Because I would love that.
I imagine they'll have to. Like, they're gonna come out with special editions. They're absolutely gonna come out with a Halo edition whenever that game comes out. So I know, like, I have friends that are gonna wait for that one. I eventually got mine from Amazon, and it was like a simultaneous feeling of like, yes, I got it, and oh fuck, I got it from Amazon. Because I remember Amazon was sending out those emails real quick last week of like, oh, if you ordered a PlayStation 5, it may not get to you at launch, or we may not actually have it available. And I got that email from Amazon. Mm-hmm. They're sending that out as like, so I'm actually still trying to get one. GameStop is supposedly going to keep having like more waves that are going to go out before at least one or two more before the launch. So keep your eye out if you're still looking, like there is still a chance. Yeah, I'm still trying to get another one, because if I can get one from somewhere else, I'm going to give this pre-order to my dad, who's really bummed that he didn't get one. Oh. And he can have the one that's going to get here late, and I will just take whatever gets into California first.
Now it's good that gamers get to see what sneakerheads go through on a regular, on a daily basis, basically. Like, that's
I was looking at this and I was like, oh, this is like trying to get tickets for Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Trying to get any in-demand item, which is why, like, people were shitting on Xbox because they kind of had that clapback at PlayStation that they put out where they were like, you know, we'll let you know. And to be fair, like, they didn't lie. They did let us know. That was the whole thing. They told us exactly when and where to be online, and it went to shit anyway. But that's the thing that I don't understand. I kind of get it for the retailers, like Xbox, not for Xbox, like Best Buy or Walmart or whatever. Like, if they're not going to beef up their entire system for this launch that isn't, like, their first party or whatever, like, they're going to sell it regardless. But Microsoft, how do you know that this is coming? You know this is your biggest launch in almost 10 years, and you don't have the network bandwidth to handle it. How does that continue to happen?
You know, I have no idea. And I kind of don't like this whole new marketing thing. Like, it's been like this for a few years now, but it is very much a supply and demand like exploit. I think Nintendo mm-hmm. has always done this, now it's been like a PlayStation and Xbox and sneakers and anything you could possibly like want. The initial strat is to make like less than they know they need just to create that crazy demand, and then wait like a month or two, and then they can't get rid of them. But that's why if you didn't get one, I wouldn't say it's the end of the world. Just be patient. They're going to announce more. You know, it's not like you're going to be going months. Don't go on Craigslist or whatever and buy those scalped ones, because that's another strategy. You got these people who just obsess over it, and then they're going to buy, you know, reserve as many as possible and try and, you know, sell them for twice as much.
People are selling pre-order confirmations for like $1,000.
Not surprised. It's just scummy people out there, and that's how this method of marketing works, and I hate it. I hate it to death.
Oh gosh. Well, yeah, the saga continues. Hopefully everybody's getting hipper and hipper, but it is the younger generation that, you know, hasn't experienced this before, that I think, you know, it might take them a few cycles to see that, can't always fall for the hype. Speaking of hype,
Skip. Sure. Sorry, it was tied to this story that I just remembered. There was a crazy, like, 40% influx the last few days of Xbox One X sales. So this is one that came out.
It was 740%.
Oh, was it? Yeah,
it was a 747% increase in sales on Amazon of the Xbox One,
because people were misclicking, and because of how crazy the numbering system is and people not fully knowing what they're buying, and in this crazy panic, a lot of people mistakenly bought the current gen Xbox. And then the funny part was, you can go see, like, there's a thread, I can't remember the hashtag, but you can go through, and it was like people flexing that they got one on Facebook and stuff, like, I got one, and they'd post a picture of the wrong Xbox, and people like, homie, I don't know how to tell you this, but you just got scammed. and a lot of people, that's why PlayStation did it right. PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They're just going to go down the line. What the fuck is Xbox doing with this numbering system? I see people try and defend it, fanboys. I'm not saying the console is going to be trash. I'm not down on, you know, people who are choosing Xbox, not Team Xbox, not Team PlayStation. I don't care. But you have to unanimously acknowledge that the way they number their consoles is dumb.
They, like, screwed themselves immediately with the 360. Like, they went Xbox and then 360, and it's like, okay, well, where do you go from there? But it was like, oh, they're going to do 720. That was for years. And then they went one, and now it's like, where the fuck do you go from there?
Yeah.
Because you can't call it a two. You can't call it, like, a 10. Like, I don't know what they think they're going to do. So they kind of, like, they boxed themselves in years ago, and they've just been having, I guess they've had the last 7 years to kind of go, oh my god, what are we gonna do?
What have we done? Let's call it the Xbox SSX Tricky. Like, it's, I think they they should just have kept going with the rotation. 720 would have been badass. 1080 would have been awesome. 920, like, they could have just kept going with the little rotation thing. The 900, you know, for the ones in between. And then, you know, the higher the number, the better the Xbox. Right now, no one knows what the
2160.
Hell. 2160. Yeah, we cross those bridges when you get to it, you know. But they went the opposite route and just made the most confusing Xbox Series X, Xbox One Series One, X2. Like, nobody knows what that means. Nobody.
Yeah, good luck on decoding all those. I that was something that I was curious about too, but Xbox is gonna have to go, or Microsoft's gonna have to go and talk to their PR team, their marketing team, about how all that stuff is, how they're gonna unscrew all that. Again, yeah, going back to hype, something that I just haven't caught the wave and I'm not super hyped about yet, and I'm sure I'll get some hate from the listeners about that. I apologize now, but a Harry Potter RPG game, Emma, can you explain this to the neophyte, someone who's uninitiated?
We discussed this last week, right? Or it was last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, so basically it's a game where you play a student at Hogwarts in like the late 1800s. And there's obviously some sort of overarching plot, like there is a villain, there is a story that we don't really know much about yet, but you just get to live in Hogwarts. And then they've said that there will be other, like you'll see other locations that we know from the books, like Hogsmeade and the Forbidden Forest. And it's just, you know, it's kind of this game that has been on the radar for like 5 years now. And it's like this mythical thing where, like, it's never going to happen. It's not real. It's not, you know, you've talked about it for too long. And now it's finally real.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I never caught the Harry Potter trend. And maybe I know David Webb, huge pothead. Are you a pothead, Emma?
Excuse me? David is a Harry Potter fan, but you don't know how dare you?
He wears it loud and proud.
I am a much bigger Harry Potter fan than David, all
no,
right?
No, you and are he not. Come on here and he I think he'd be offended.
Fight me on that. He can fucking fight me on that. On my years of Halloween costumes as Harry, and I got really mad every time I showed up to a door and they were like, oh, look, it's Hermione. I said, fuck you, I'm Harry Potter. I'm wearing glasses and I have an owl. I am not Hermione. I spent my last birthday at Harry Potter World. I made my own robes. I've got my wand. Like, I am all about it.
Okay, you guys are both tied then. Fine, because
how dare you,
David? David is straight laced, clean as they come. You know, and no tattoos.
David's a Hufflepuff, all right?
No, he is, but he has no tattoos. And I think like the one time I remember, he was so serious, he was going to get a tattoo. It was like a Harry Potter themed tattoo. Like he loves it. So, okay, I'm glad you guys both like it. And so, whatever, you can gatekeep all you want to David. It's cool.
How much the author is trying to make us hate it.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to ask, because I saw boycott Harry Potter trending like the last 2 days when this game news started coming out. Yeah. Is so that a real movement?
If you go back a couple episodes, it was either the last episode or the one before, we actually had like this whole conversation about it, about whether or not people are going to buy the game, how well the game is going to do. There's a lot of questions about, you know, it's kind of this thing that everybody's going to have to grapple with, is whether or not they're okay with supporting this game and the way that might or might not support J.K. Rowling. And people are trying to figure out how the monetization and the contracts work. Like, well, if I buy this game, does it give her money or has she already been paid regardless? And, you know, even if she's not getting paid for your royalties, you know, it's still up in the IP. And it's a very it's a very difficult matter for a lot of people to try and grapple with right now. And you've got some time to kind of try and figure out where you're going to land on it. I think the conclusion we came to before was basically that if the developer would just put out a statement, they could immediately make a lot of people feel better about it. Because there's a lot of people that really want an excuse to buy this game. They want somebody to tell them that it's okay. And if the developer just puts out a statement and says, we don't support anything she says, we support, you know, trans women are women, trans men are men, and we don't stand by anything that she said, and our team, and we've always believed that, and she was not a part of making this story in any way, they would immediately kind of get a lot of people on their side, and it's kind of weird that they haven't done anything like that yet.
Is Harry, who owns Harry Potter?
She does. She still does.
Oh, yeah. She does?
So Warner Brothers owns the rights, but she still owns like the IP.
I'm sure they would love to. They're pretty much just a middleman or a third party at this point who has no power or business like to do that. I'm sure they would love to, but there's probably so much like legal. Right.
That's what I was like. What kind of contract isn't going to let you come out and say that you support trans lives? What is in your contract that's not going to let you say that? And I'm sure there is, like, I'm sure there's something where Warner Brothers, like, doesn't want to take a stance on it because they're a big-ass corporation. They don't want to alienate anybody. So if they just don't say anything on either side, then they're fine, which is really not how it works.
Do you see it affecting the sales? Like, do you legit think that this is going to make or break the game, or do you think it's just...
I think that it will for sure affect sales. The question is how much. Like, is it, like you said, is it going to make or break? Because I think... a lot of the groups that I'm in where people are talking about, like, this game's going to bomb, nobody's going to buy it because of J.K. Rowling, I think a lot of those are really, really very active and adamant Harry Potter fans, and there's a big cross-section of adamant Harry Potter fans and people who kind of fit that very liberal, very very strong advocate for these social justice values. And it's kind of like, I think we almost are forgetting that the wider population doesn't feel as strongly.
Or
is even aware of it. Like, if you're not actively part of the Harry Potter community, you might not even be aware of what's going on with it. Like, it would kind of be hard at this point. I think everybody knows, but, like, it's not inconceivable. And this idea, like, I think that when you live in that sort of bubble where all you see are the other really, really, really big fans who are such a huge part of everything that's going on at every point in the community, you kind of forget that there are people that don't pay attention and are just like, I like Harry Potter. This is Harry Potter. I'm going to buy it. Like, this is a massive multi-billion dollar IP. And right. I don't know that it's going to break it, but I think it's going to have an effect. It's just not sure how much of an effect.
Well, as one of those outsiders who is not quote unquote affiliated with the Harry Potter community, I just always seen Harry Potter as like an off brand soda of those awesome dynasty things. Like your Star Wars and your Lord of the Rings, and then there's Fast and the Furious, like these really legendary franchises at the top. And then it's like Harry Potter, like who's asking for that game?
I'm sorry, we had a Harry Potter theme park how many years before we got a Star Wars theme park?
I don't even know there was a Harry Potter theme park.
There's two.
Where at?
LA and Universal Studios in Orlando.
The Universal Studios theme parks? Those are like, that's like Beat League. Like anybody could have a land there.
If you're not aware of it, there's not really an argument that Harry Potter is not a global phenomenon. Like, it very much is. And whether it's kind of an age thing where you weren't at the age group where you were reading it when it was coming out, it's a massive, massive IP. It's not really like that's not really an opinion. It just is.
That's like your opinion, man.
Yeah, of course it is. So it is, arguably one of the biggest IPs in the world, up there with the likes of Star Wars. God, can you imagine if Disney owned Harry Potter?
It will. Oh, they will eventually. It's just a matter of when.
Wow, they should buy Warner Brothers?
Yeah. It's when, not if.
Oh, God. Let's not put that in the universe.
Yeah, let's avoid that at all costs. What was that, Lexi?
Didn't they buy Hulu? Isn't that why you can get, like, Hulu with Disney Plus and ESPN?
That's a complicated question. The short answer is no, and the longer answer has to do with how much of a stock they own in ABC, which owns stock in Hulu, and it's a whole thing.
Gotcha.
So they didn't buy Hulu, but they do have a controlling stock of Hulu, is the easy version.
Gotcha.
There we go. The more you know. Speaking about knowing, some people feel like Amazon knows enough about us. between shopping on their websites, all the ads that seem to pop up when we're just talking about things that we're interested in buying, and then, oh, look, it's an Amazon ad for that exact thing. They're not listening. But not only listening, now they are interested in giving you the option, Lexi, to put a drone in your home that can fly around and spy on you while you're sleeping. Are you going to line up to buy the new one? I know David Webb's already got two in his cart, but Lexi, are you going to buy the Amazon drone?
This is like that episode of Dr. Phil where the lady like says how someone's talking through her Amazon thing to her kid and is like basically like, let me talk to your mom and all this stuff. Like they hacked into her system. Like, do you think I'm gonna like put that in my house with hackers? And
oh my god, it took me so long to figure out what you were talking about. I remember that right now.
Like, I don't know. I'm kind of scared of that. Like, I think it's cool. Like about the Ring, like the door. Like, okay, so if somebody tries to steal my package, I might could track them down because I could see, like, go back and replay who did it. Like, I'm on the edge of that. I don't even have that, but I'm on the edge. I think it's cool, but like, do you think I'm gonna get a drone to go around like the circumference of my place and basically say like, hey, I saw you were out in the yard trying to get a pool done or whatever you're doing. So here's some suggested items. Like, what? No. What? I already get that on, like, as a marketer, I already get that on, like, Instagram or Facebook and Twitter. So I know, like, the market, like, how you're targeting people. But, like, so you're going to record me, too, like, and have that in my files. So one day down the line, you can say, oh, you ate that ice cream. We saw you, you know, like.
Hold on. It's not just going to, like, buzz around your house and watch you. Like, it's only got like an active time fly time.
Minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
But still, 5 minutes is enough.
And it has to, and I guess it only leaves the dock if you tell it to. Like, I guess you could walk. So Emma had all the facts. Like, I guess.
So basically, yeah, the way this works is it works with your Ring security system if you have one. And even if you don't, you can still get this. So basically, it has a flying time of 5 minutes. This thing can only fly around for 5 minutes at a time. This thing is not going to be patrolling your house. I don't know why they left a lot of stuff out of like the initial, like, oh, we have a drone. No, this thing has a 5 minute flying time and then it sits in the dock and it has to charge for an hour so that it can fly another 5 minutes. So it's not exactly, you know, what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Basically you can set it up so that if your home security system, if your Ring security system detects something when it's in away mode, then it will activate your drone to fly around your house. It will only operate in a route that you walk it through. So like when you first get the drone, you will walk the drone on a path around your home, and that's the only path it can take. If it comes up against an obstacle, it will literally just turn around and go back to the dock. Like, it can't even move around. If you had a fucking lamp that you moved, it'll just be like, nope, I can't do that, I'm going back. And the way that they said a couple different things that Corey and I were laughing about before the show were like, it's clearly not a feature, it's a limitation, but they've tried to word it in such a way. So like the fact that it only runs for 5 minutes, they were like, well, this was deliberate so that it was, you know, a single use item that isn't on all the time. Like, we deliberately only let it have a 5 minute. Shut the fuck up. No, you didn't. If you could make it fly more than 5 minutes, you would have. They said exactly. Something similar about like the sound. Like, apparently it's got enough of a sound that they needed to address it. They were like, it makes a buzzing humming sound that we deliberately put in there so that you were aware when it's on. Shut the fuck up. No, you didn't. If you could make it silent, you could have made it silent. Stop trying to bullshit me on this. It's the limitations of having something that's the first generation. Yeah. So the next one and the one after that will be, have longer battery life and will have silent flying and will be able to move around on their own with some sort of Roomba AI system. And oh my God, what if it could integrate with your Roomba? Can they buy Roomba? Does Amazon own that?
Yeah. You come home and there's this third electronic hybrid. Because they fell in love like Wally. Yeah.
So that's what this thing is. I don't know why the fuck Amazon thinks I need a drone in my house. Why?
Few things I thought
so
were
they can
strange.
Get more information on you.
That's true. Yeah, they want the information. A few things I thought were weird was that it's got a camera on it, obviously. But when the thing is docked, the camera is obstructed. Yes. So it's not like a camera, a security camera. And again, I read some stuff where they were saying like that was deliberate, you know, like it was a privacy measure. But your Ring, and you already manufacture cameras that go in people's houses. So it's not like you don't do that or that's uncharted territory
for you.
Because
they're full of shit.
Yeah, their marketing team just like they trump everything. It's like whatever you throw at them, they're like, oh, yeah, it's meant to be that way. Fuck it. Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, no. Fuck, we blocked. Who blocked the fucking camera? Was that you? Idiot. No, yeah, it was a feature. Yeah, cool. No. Then they'll, like you said, they'll fix it on the next one.
Or maybe that one was deliberate so that even if you have this fucking drone, you still need to go buy their goddamn cameras.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That could be that too. I'm all in the Ring system. I have the Ring doorbell. I have like the Ring floodlight. I have the whole Ring security door monitor things. Like I have all that stuff. But the one thing I elected not to do specifically was the cameras in the house. I have like a motion sensor and all these kinds of things, but I don't know. Something about Ring having access to cameras in my house. Like,
yeah. You have an Echo Show?
I do.
That has a camera in it.
Yeah, but it also has like a little privacy slider. So
it does?
Yeah, it's got a privacy slider on the top. You know, so well then Jeff Bezos got your nudies. I'm sorry. Wow. I don't know what to tell you. He has mine too, because sometimes I just undo it just to show him, but you know, there is like a little orange.
Gotta steal the thunder.
Yeah.
Mine 1000% does not have that.
Really, it must be like a Gen 2 thing because on the top there's like a big slider, and when it's closed, it's a giant orange like thing. Like they made it extremely obvious that it's privacy.
I gotta look this up.
Yeah. So no. I'm the other things they talked about too. Some other little things like they're making the Echo dots and stuff round cubes now or circles. So they're gonna be like more like the Google ones. I'm not too sure why they were doing all that kind of stuff, but. The other thing that caught the attention was the, did you guys see they're going to get into cloud gaming too?
Luna.
Yeah.
Amazon Luna.
That was crazy.
What do you think? Are you going to jump on it?
Hell no.
Nope.
No?
Why would I? We got xCloud.
Do we though? Do we?
Well, you and I don't because we use iPhones.
Wow. This apparently will work on iPhones because it's a web I guess it's a web app, which I thought it was the opposite way around, but it says it's a web app, so it'll work on iPhones and iPads.
Ooh, that might be the workaround.
Yeah.
What's y'all's thought on everything that's going on with the Game Pass? Because I feel like you guys always like attest to how great it is, but especially with the new Xbox, like with the deal that they have going on for it, I think that it's one you can't beat.
Well, that we'll probably get into when we talk about the Bethesda thing, which is probably somewhere on the docket, yes?
Oh, it's definitely. Yeah, that's the last thing, because that's the big thing.
Yeah, that'll be a big part of the Bethesda thing, so I don't want to jump the gun too much on that. But for Luna, because that's a good point, though, with, like, you have services like Game Pass, so what's going to be available on this and for how much? And the thing that caught my eye is that Luna has something called Channels. So Luna is in, you can request early access to it, and it's $5.99 a month for like their introductory pricing, and like it unlocks your Luna Plus subscription, yada, yada, yada. And it has like a base set of games. And then they said something about, you know, you can buy the Ubisoft channel. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? So they're going to have sort of like Hulu, where you get Hulu and you have your shows, but then you can buy the HBO channel, or you can buy the live TV channel, you can buy the other channels. But they're going to have, I guess, certain developers that have their own channels that you have to pay extra for.
That actually makes a lot of sense financially for those developers and creates more of a platform that's friendlier for them rather than kind of the Xbox model.
The question is, how much is that channel going to be?
I think they could probably set the prices. Like, if you're a huge Ubisoft and you have this massive library, you're probably going to charge more than a smaller publisher who gets the same opportunity.
Well, there says the Ubisoft game channel will include new and favorite titles, including ultimate versions for select titles, will provide you with access to play on one device at up to 4K resolution for select titles. So that's the other part, is that I guess one of the good things about Luna and sort of family sharing is it's supposed to be able to be played by two people at the same time.
That's cool.
Which I just saw Corey's eyebrows go up. Like, that was like a big, like, oh, that's unexpected. So it is game streaming. It's a cloud-based gaming thing. So their required or their recommended internet connection speed for streaming games is 10 megabytes. And it says 35 to play in 4K. So that's a big ass jump. I don't know if 10 megabytes means you're playing in like 240.
Yeah, you're playing Super Nintendo at that point.
Yeah.
But Genesis. you can request access. It's supported across the mainland U.S. It says so not Hawaii, no Alaska, no U.S. territory. So it's just mainland U.S. right now. It'll be available on PC, Mac, Fire TV devices, Fire TV Cube, Chrome web browser, and Safari web browser.
I've heard some feedback from actually the guys at Gamertag Radio who've been like following the xCloud stuff like crazy. And, you know, they're every time I listen to them, respect them to death, but they are very, very Xbox focused. So when I listen to them, I have to kind of like weed out, you know, are they just kind of exaggerating because they're just huge Xbox fans or what? But, you know, they did like an Paris, I think, did like an honest review of his performance, like performance weighing everything out. What has responded the best? Minimal lag time, playing the same game across all of them. And he actually said Stadia was the most polished and like least amount of lag, followed closely by xCloud. And then I think he did like NVIDIA or something and said that one was pretty bad.
Well, you know what you can play on Stadia right now?
What?
Serious Sam 4, which I didn't know until I tried to buy it, is a Stadia timed exclusive.
Stadia has timed exclusives?
Yes, they do. Because Serious Sam 4 is one and I'm very upset about it.
Who made that decision? Why would you make
that? I don't know. I don't know. I'm like, of all the things, Stadia? Like, how much money did Google give you for this?
There's A tier, like Crash Bandicoot and Sonic, you know, and then Serious Sam? It's kind of like the Harry Potter.
Niche.
Like,
very niche.
Yeah, it's kind of like Harry Potter.
I'm just moving on from that. It's very niche, and I don't understand why they were like, yes, this needs exclusivity, because we will draw enough attention for this. I'm very upset about it. It is available on PC as well, but yeah, I'm upset about it. Just wanted to throw that in there.
Poor Emma.
Well, we were kind of already talking about him, and it's no secret anymore. The cat's out the bag. Everybody knows it's happening because the bag was huge. We're talking 7.5 billion. Microsoft slapped down on the table with the B. We're talking Billies here, not Millies. Dang. Billies. $7.5 billion Microsoft acquires Bethesda. Well, actually, let's get into the details because it wasn't just Bethesda that they acquired.
ZeniMax.
Emma, kind of walk us through all of what Microsoft got out of the deal with Bethesda.
Oh, goodness. I'm going to actually pull this up because I will miss things. So Microsoft paid $7.5 billion to acquire ZeniMax Media and kind of bring them on as one of their Microsoft game studios. So they went from, they jumped up to like, they have like 15 game studios in the Microsoft Studios umbrella now, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. That sounds about right. So that has like Bethesda Softworks. I know Arkane is in there, which is what I'm super fucking excited for. It is in there, which did Doom and Wolfenstein. They'll have exclusivity. Well, we'll get into exclusivity. They'll have first options on things like Skyrim, Elder Scrolls. This is a big deal. This is very large. Was there like rumors? Did I just miss that we somehow knew this was coming, or did this really come out of nowhere?
It was like a Randy Orton RKO. It came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I mean, and I'm not even someone who I don't follow Microsoft per se quite a bit, but yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we follow the news because we, you know, come here and have a discussion about it. But I was following along, I would say, easily pretty closely for the last month and a half. I don't remember anything even remotely being rumored or coming out about it at all. They did a really good job of keeping that under wraps. And then obviously not only that, then they did a heck of a job of letting, like, you know, basically pulling in Kanye, like, hey, PlayStation, I'm gonna let you finish. But Xbox just had the best gaming studio purchase of all time. All time.
For real, yeah.
All right, so I finally got around to the studios that ZeniMax owns. So ZeniMax owns Bethesda Game Studios, ZeniMax Online Studios, id Software, Arcane Studios, Machine Games, Tango Gameworks, Alpha Dog Games, and Roundhouse Studios.
That's big.
All of which are now part of Microsoft. The other thing, so what Microsoft has already come out and said, or Phil Spencer already come out and said, that they will be they will be honoring the exclusivity for certain games that were already promised to be PlayStation exclusives. This deal is actually how I found out that Deathloop is apparently a PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I've been drooling over this game for like a year and a half, and I had no clue. And they were like, yes, Deathloop will still be on PlayStation. I went, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So they are still going to be honoring exclusivity that's already been promised for games like Deathloop. And they came out and said something... I don't have the exact quote, but I want to say that they came out and said something that they're not necessarily interested in doing 100% exclusive titles. So I know a lot of people were immediately worried, like, is the next Skyrim going to be an Xbox exclusive? Is the next, you know, Elder Scrolls game going to be an Xbox exclusive? And are we going to lose out on that? And the answer to that is maybe not. It kind of sounds like they're not necessarily going to be doing 1000% Xbox exclusives. Things will be obviously right. available on on PC, and that they may even be available on PlayStation. But the exciting thing for me, and going back to what Lexi said, is that means that all of these games are Game Pass day one games.
If it serves their purpose, I think that's kind of why they're honoring certain commitments and not saying, you know, what things will be exclusives and not. It does behoove them, I think, to put most of the major titles as day one exclusives, because Games Pass is probably their number one priority. But what I like is that it provides Microsoft tons of flexibility. Like, if they're struggling and they need to make a little bit of money, you know, and PlayStation's acting a fool, they could throw a right cross and knock their old ass out and be like, all right, fine, you guys aren't going to get Fallout. Fallout's done all for right. you guys. No more. But if you play nice, you can maybe have some Fallout.
You know, so speaking of Fallout, this now means that Obsidian and Bethesda are in the same network.
Yep. Which means...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say about Fallout New Vegas.
I knew you were going to say that, and I don't want that.
You don't want New Vegas too?
I don't want it to take away from what they've built with the Outer Worlds.
I
love the Outer Worlds, and if they could pull off both, fine. But I love Outer Worlds. It's a new IP and exciting. I think Fallout has kind of been like ruined a little bit, played out. They've dropped the ball. They've fumbled it.
I think they made it be ruled out because of all the crap they got from 76.
Yeah, 76 was another like just big flop. I mean, it hasn't.
But all
been...
the other ones were good. So I think people want like the New Vegas like remake and stuff, and that's why they're like hoping that. And somebody actually tweeted them and was like, "Is this possible? Could it be?" And they just put like the eye emoji, like the little eye.
Oh yeah, Obsidian tweeted like a little shrug. They're like, ah.
Yeah. The my mind. Story or what is that called? My headcanon. My headcanon yep. is that
your mind story. God, you're old.
My headcanon says that, like, I love Obsidian to death. I've made it very clear, but they've really had their biggest success with like third party stuff, like New Vegas and Knights of the Old Republic 2, because they didn't do the first one. So it seemed like they were the kings of like taking an existing property and just like making it better. And to me, when they did the Outer Worlds, like, that was huge, because I was like, these are the guys who've been, you know, doing, telling other people's stories, getting a chance to really create something new and unique and amazing, and they crushed it. And I was really, I'm really hoping that that's still where they get to put their focus. If they do a Fallout and make a New Vegas 2, it's going to be fucking incredible. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it'll be bad. It's going to be the best, and I'll probably love it, and I'll day one order it. But if that's what they want to do, then that's what they should do. I think they're good people, and I think they should do what they want to do. I hope they don't get muscled into making a Fallout when they want to do another Outer World or something.
Gotcha.
Absolutely. Well, so that was big news. Kind of hit us all like a sack of bricks. So yeah, that I think that really shifted the landscape in a bunch of different ways. Corey,
there were some cool,
sounds like you're chomping at the bit to chime in.
The other thing I thought was fascinating that I would like your guys' opinions on was the first thing people wanted to do was, you know, craft a Master Chief versus Doom Guy narrative. Yeah. And so there was all sorts of crazy art of like, oh, who would win in a fight now that they're in the same universe? And I don't know. I'm a Master Chief fan. I'm just going to say it. I think he would crush Doom Guy and then teabag the corpse.
Ass.
Yeah. And then teabag the corpse. I actually just picked this thing up. People who are watching the stream might be able to appreciate it. I'll explain it.
Oh, is it little controller holders?
Target had this thing. It's like it's like a, I don't know, 10-inch Master Chief thing that can hold your controllers or cell phones or smartphones. This thing's badass, and I can't wait to get my Xbox One Series X controller Master Chief Edition to put in his hands.
That's awesome.
A little show and tell.
That was a nice pickup. And for everybody that is a loyal podcast listener, as you know, we tell you week in and week out, those are some of the treats that you get if you're able to find the time to tune in and see us live on Twitch. So for everybody that's listening, anytime you want to catch us live doing these, twitch.tv/videogame_bang, you can see usually at least half of the crew's faces. And if not, you can always see Corey's lovely mug and Master Chief there now, accompanying him on these podcasts. Last but not least, one more interesting bit of news for one of the most popular video games in the world that I still have yet to really, 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 really get in on, Rocket League. And it says Rocket League FTP hits over 1 million players.
It's craziness for a game that came out in 2015. They obviously Epic bought them, which was seen as kind of a crazy move, you know, Fortnite, obviously. But, like, honestly, the crowd and age group that these both games appeal to, like, probably has more crossover than any other game they could have purchased. They actually stole the, I'm not going to say steal. They, you know, got the guy who was running the Overwatch League as the commissioner to come over to oversee the new Psionics Rocket League esports. And they've been real quiet. And they just kind of came out, made the game free to play, and that same day had over 1 million concurrent players. And it's just crazy and awesome to see this game get all kinds of new life.
That's amazing. And it's funny, like, I know people that play a lot, and I have played it, but I think I knew to stay away, because one, like, you hear about the concept, and if you know, if you haven't before, I mean, it's been out long enough, you know, like, oh, okay, that's interesting. But it's literally a game play. You hop on and you start playing, and just it's weird that, like, the difficulty, like how easy it is to get started, and of course how hard it is to master. It's really interesting. It really is a fun game, and to me, the fact that it stayed around long enough was a testament to it. It's no surprise that it's finally got that many players, but it's just fun. And I'm really glad I don't play, because, like I said, 2K already drains enough out of me, and I'm trying to play other video games. Rocket League would just be the end of any social relationship I would have in the world outside of the game. So congratulations to Psionics. That was really, really awesome.
To put that million into perspective, like, the previous record was 120,000, and that was about right when the pandemic started. So that's a huge shift. And if you've been doing your homework, everybody who listens to the podcast, and downloading or at least reserving your free games off the Epic Game Store, When I logged in this week to pick up my free games, like, Rocket League was everywhere. It was on every banner, big sign, all the marquees, everything pointing straight to it. So clearly they did a really good job, like, letting people know what was up and that the game is free now. So, yeah, it's not a game that's too late. Like, I highly recommend getting into it. And it's got an amazing esports scene, too. So if you find yourself enjoying the game, it's one of the most fun and easy and engaging to watch because it's so clean and clear. Like, you know exactly what the other team's objective is. It's beautiful to watch, to see all the techniques and all the crazy what-the-fuck moments. So if you're, you know, playing the game and enjoying it, I highly recommend it. Curtis, one more thing that I don't know if I put on the doc, but I just got to ask Lexi before we start wrapping this thing up. Lexi, yeah. Congratulations on your first major video game launch for your new company. And I just wanted to see if there was anything you kind of wanted to talk about or you know, share some key learnings from your experience, especially launching a wrestling video game.
Sure. Thank you, Corey. I appreciate that. It was super fun. My first launch. It went smoothly. It was a lot of, like, time invested into it these past 2 weeks. So we went from launch on last Friday to this week having, like, a live, like, Clash of Countries type setup for some matches with some influencers and some wrestling commentators for that. So it was, like, on the go nonstop for the past 2 weeks, like, needed a little breather. So kind of settled down yesterday afternoon.
Can you tell us what's the name of the game? And, like, it's way different than the wrestling games that I've been seeing come out recently.
Yeah. So it's called WWE 2K Battlegrounds. Essentially it's more of a goofy type, funny type spinoff of, like, the WWE games. But there are really cool, like, perks and things that you can get in the game. There's a lot of, like, entrances that you can get, and you can play as a lot of different characters. I know, like, old school characters that a lot of people were excited to play as. And you can play with the whole family. Like, I think you can play up to, like, 4 or 5 people. And also you can play online, of course, for the online play. But it's super fun. I played it. It was kind of cool. I actually, like, was not great at it. But, you know, like, I used to play the older WWE games, like SmackDown and stuff, on my PlayStation. Yeah. So I'm used to those. And this one is truly just really fun and entertaining to play. So I suggest anybody to go out, try it out, and get it. We're also doing a few giveaways for the next 3 weeks. So if you would like to hop over to the 2K WWE Battlegrounds Twitter page to have a chance to win a copy of the Deluxe Edition, you should do that. Because, if you would like to try it and maybe win a copy, then just try it out and it'll be a cool experience.
What have you learned about the wrestling, like, community on Twitter? Are they're pretty passionate from what I've seen. Oh, yeah. Just, you know, the generic wrestling fans. I don't know, like, how wrestling video game fans are.
Oh yeah. So I manage also, like, the WWE and WWE 2K Battlegrounds. That's a lot to say. so to see the difference, because I know we share a lot to help, you know, push out on both outlets, to see the difference in the fan base from WWE and then from this game, from Battlegrounds, it's insane, because everybody just loves, like, they have their favorites, they have their, like, own niche, like, group of people that they like. I know we put out a few things with Undertaker, which was really cool. And I remember him back in the day when I was a kid. So, like, seeing, like, their reactions to that, like, it was really feel good. You know, you always have, like, some of the trolls and the, you know, you always have trolls.
But you'll never escape that, no matter what game or community or launch you're working on.
But for the most part, everybody was super excited. And then, like, on Instagram, I know a lot of people, like, would share, like, hey, just got the game, blah, 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 or giving their reviews. And so something that I promised myself, like, even when I first got my degree and like got into this built space of like social PR type work, I always said that I want to make people happy and like to see their face, because that's how I would be. Like, especially like if a brand like likes my post or says something to me, I always freak out. Like, I'm like, oh my God, this person, you know? So that's how I always envisioned myself being to people. So even for WWE, that's what I did. And just to see that comeback, like from them, like the happiness that they were getting, and they were like, oh my God, I was like my post and put me on the stories, because I do that a lot too. It was just really heartwarming and nice. So overall, it was a great launch and everything, and I'm looking forward to all the other launches to come and cool things to come about. So make sure to go follow.
I think I'm more excited about your job than you are, because I'm so happy. I saw, like, anytime I see a wrestling thing now, I'm like messaging her and DMing her, like, oh my God, don't miss out on this. You should do this. Oh my God, this would be so fun. I think it's because I'm envious.
I'm like, yes, please, Corey. Like, and it's so funny, because at first, like, I'm not even going to lie, I was kind of scared, because, like, I haven't been as up to date with wrestling. Like, back in the day when I was a kid, yeah, like, I wasn't up to date, but I used to watch, like, the live matches, and, you know, I knew certain people. Like, The Rock is one of my idols. Like, I love him, but I mean,
my husband.
I love The Rock. And I love, like, there was Andre the Giant, and then there's, like, Stone Cold Austin, and you know, like all these people, like that you just nostalgia from back in the day. So once I like dived in, I was like, oh my gosh, it's all these people like that I played on these other games, you know, that we're presenting this new game of, you know, and all the fan base is super excited to play these characters, you know. So it's really cool. And then also just the branded content, like there's so many wrestlers that I got to like share and like and see their, you know, content from us, and it was just like life changing. Like,
I think experience. You and I, since we work from home and COVID and stuff, maybe we can Freaky Friday this whole thing, and like one day you take over all my accounts and one day I get to take over and have some fun with the wrestling account.
Yeah, let's do it.
Don't tell our
bosses. Don't agree to anything. Don't agree to anything.
Don't tell our bosses. I'm excited for you, though. Congratulations on the launch. I can't wait to play it. I'm really, really excited to. So I appreciate you sending me the code.
It's super cool. And let me know your thoughts. Maybe once you play it, we could do like a segment where you talk about your thoughts. And
oh, hell yeah.
Comparison. So.
To quote Stone Cold Steve Austin, oh, hell yeah.
Nice.
Perfect quote. Yeah, again, big congratulations to Lexi. Perfect way to end off the episode. Thank you, Corey, for bringing that up. That was perfection, and super excited for Lexi. But another episode of VGB in the books. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. If you tuned in live on twitch.tv, /videogame_bang, we appreciate it. Everybody in the chat, Sir Butcher, 316, our homie Jay, Capital Fighting District Jay, always good to see you. We appreciate it. All of our loyal podcast listeners, as always, thanks for tuning in week after week. That's awesome. We always find out what everybody's doing before we get out of here. Lexi, any more of those legendary streams coming up soon?
Okay, so I promised y'all a stream, but I didn't get to do it because job.
And it was right.
So there's that. But I will tweet out something if I'm going to do a stream, because it's just been a lot lately with everything. Maybe this weekend at some point. I don't know, but we'll see.
That's crazy. Our fan 316, you know, he's been around forever. He's been kind of MIA, but he must have heard you through the ether talking about WWE, because he's in our chat right now spouting all of it. He actually has an amazing stream too, where he crafts his own championship wrestling belts like from scratch.
Hey, like, hit me up for real, because we like to share content. So
yeah, dude,
absolutely. 316 is amazing. Amazing guy. Awesome stream, especially if you're into wrestling. It's incredible. His emotes too are legendary.
Yeah, it's full wrestling themed. That's crazy.
That's joined sick. Us at that time. Yeah.
All right, so stream coming up soon. Everybody keep an eye out for it. That's also why you got to follow Lexi to make sure you get those stream notifications. So make sure that you follow her on internet media, social media on the internet. Wow, my brain is mush. Midday podcasts are hard, people. Emma Skies, what you got cooking as far as the stream?
Stream Monday, Tuesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. and Thursdays at 6 p.m.
Make sure you tune in there. What game are you going through right now? Are you still going through Avengers, or did you switch it up?
I'm mostly done with Avengers. Well, I mean, I'll come back to it every once in a while. I finished the campaign, but I'll come back every once in a while and do some multiplayer missions. I've got an Avengers giveaway coming up next week, so if you want to check that out, follow me places. And then I just finished up a run of Prey that did not go the way I wanted to. So I don't know what I'm starting next. I was supposed to be starting Serious Sam, but that's not happening. So who knows?
Oh, there we go. And Corey, you're known to hit the button every now and then. You got any streams or anything coming up?
I don't know if I'm going to be doing any streaming for a little while. So work is picking up, man. So the San Francisco Shock, the world's greatest Overwatch League team to ever touch the game, is in Korea right now getting ready for the grand finals in a couple weeks. So the content strategy has been pretty intense on our end, and we're just gearing up for war, basically. That's how I love this organization, and I love esports and being a part of the team, is because even me as like the, you know, fan club engagement social content guy, like, it feels like I'm going to battle. So we're getting prepared, we're crafting our narratives and our graphics and our pop-offs and all this crazy stuff. So I can't wait. So if you guys are gonna watch it, it's gonna be at like 2 a.m because they're gonna play in Korea for the LAN, but it's gonna be a lot of fun. I think over $1 million in the prize pool again, so it's not like we're playing for peanuts. So it's time to have our game faces on. If you guys want to follow the action there at SF Shock, we just hit 200k on Twitter, which I was super excited about. Big milestone for us, most followed team on Twitter. Just got some numbers back saying we're the second most engaged with team on Instagram, so I'm feeling pretty good. It might be one of those nights where I bust out the good bottle of whiskey and have a little celebration. So things are good in my world, and that's why I haven't been hitting that stream button, because I'm married to the game, baby.
And we should just take the time to like congratulate Corey, because I saw his tweet go out. He was like, "Can we, you know, hit this thing, this amount that I want to hit?" And I was just like, "Corey grinds hard, y'all." And I don't think people know how hard Corey grinds. I see all his tweets. I like them. Like, so I just want to say, like, shout out to Corey for all his hard work too. So
thank you.
Big shout out to Corey. And it's true. It's funny. Like, I see it too. But I think there's another level of appreciation had between people that are in the same arena as far as career. So if Lexi grinds, Corey grinds, Lexi grinds. If Corey's saying Lexi grinds, Lexi really grinding. If Lexi's saying Corey's grinding, Corey's really grinding. So, you know, both of y'all work your heads off. Keep it up.
Iron sharpens
awesome.
Iron.
You and Emma, because y'all hold us down. Y'all are awesome. Emma's such a great streamer. Like, I look up to her. I look at all her. Like, girl, I gotta be like you one day.
No.
Don't inflate it. She doesn't need that. She definitely, her ego does not need that, Lexi.
Wow.
ego skies, huh?
And Curtis, you're awesome. Like, you're such an awesome commentator too. So just shout outs all around. Like, you know, everybody needs to know, like, that you are appreciated, and you are appreciated, and you're like family to me. So y'all, like, I'm not gonna cry, but yeah, I just want y'all to know.
Oh man, turn into one of those streams, man. Now I'm about to cry. Emma, anything you want to say?
No, I'm good. Emma, like, y'all ain't about to make me cry.
Nah, thank you, girl.
All right, your boy Kurt. I've been grinding out this 2K. You know what? I gotta take another second. This is gonna be the longest outro BGB ever. shout out to 2K for making 2K21 a much better experience than 2K18, 2K19, 2K20. Grinding these badges has been easier. Getting into games, I'm digging more than I thought I would. I'm digging the beach as a new area instead of the neighborhood and the park. It really has been enjoyable. So shout out to 2K for this 2K21 thing. We still got interviews coming up. Things keep getting rescheduled, but we will have some professional 2K League players on to be interviewed. Don't worry, it's coming. I'm streaming on my channel. I'm streaming on Thinking Critical. I think I've streamed on every single channel I'm a part of this week. I even streamed on the Sacktown Breakdown and even my Fade Club account, which is our old competitive gaming Twitch channel. So I think I've streamed on 5 different Twitch channels this week and got on someone else's channel to help them with Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 yesterday. So I might have been on like 7 different Twitch channels this week. It's been crazy. And I'm training at work. We're grinding here. Everybody that tunes into VGB, you make this possible. Thank you so much for allowing us to share our thoughts and opinions with you. And we will see y'all next week. Peace.